The reading today is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, their child, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that they will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lizzie. Maybe you were here with us during Advent, and if you were, which didn't begin long ago, only began 9 weeks ago, Advent, you remember that Advent's a season of waiting, and we had lots of readings and talks, and we sang about waiting. And today's reading is also about waiting from Luke's Gospel. And we all know what it's like to wait for something really important, like Christmas, or a birthday, or when I was young, the ice cream man coming up the road with that beautiful sound he always made. And waiting is sometimes hard, especially when you're excited, because then waiting is difficult. We might pretend we're patient, but have you ever been to a Lidl store? I'm sure you have, maybe Aldi, and you do your shopping, and you eventually decide to go to the queue for the till, and there's one till open, and you stand in a long queue, and then after getting halfway down the queue, another till opens, and loads more people join that queue before you can, and you end up further back somehow than you were in the first place. It can be very, very frustrating. But then you'll discover just how holy we really are. So today's story is all about waiting. Mary and Joseph, they bring their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, in this story, there's nothing dramatic happening. There are no angels, no shepherds, no wise men. Just a tired young couple with a newborn doing what Jewish families have done for generations and generations. They're not rich. Luke tells us that they offer doves or two pigeons. That's the sacrifice made by people who couldn't afford to pay for a lamb. So this is not a big, glitzy occasion. It's not a royal occasion. For Mary and Joseph, it's more like turning up at church with a buggy, a changing bag, and very tired eyes from lack of sleep. Then we meet this character, Simeon. Luke tells us he's righteous and devout, and that he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he's been waiting for God to put things right. We don't know how old Simeon is, but he's no spring chicken. This is a man who's waited a long time, years and decades. Prayers that didn't seem to be answered, promises that didn't seem to be kept, or at least delayed. Some of us know that feeling, maybe, waiting for a healing, maybe physically or emotionally or in a relationship, waiting for change or peace. Maybe we're waiting for life just to be a bit less difficult. But our friend Simeon keeps turning up at the temple. He keeps praying and he keeps trusting. Then one day the Spirit of God nudges Simeon and says, "Go to the temple today." And as he went to the temple, there, in the arms of a young mum who probably looked exhausted, Simeon recognizes the Messiah. Not because Jesus had some sort of ready-brick glow, or because there was a halo floating above his head, but because the Holy Spirit opened Simeon's eyes. This story with Simeon reminds me of a true modern-day story. In 2007, it's quite modern-day, compared to Simeon's story at least, anyway. In 2007, the Washington Post set up a social experiment in Washington, D.C. They asked a man called Joshua Bell. Anyone heard of Joshua Bell? A fantastic violinist, probably one of the best in the world. They asked him to do some busking in a busy underground station during the morning rush hour. He played for about 3/4 of an hour. He played some of the most beautiful music ever written for violins. And he played this on a violin worth millions of dollars. And thousands of people just walked past. A few looked over as they were passing by, and some did stop. But most didn't notice at all. And by the end, he'd collected the grand sum of $30 for his efforts. And what makes the results of this experiment so interesting to me is that just days earlier, people had paid hundreds of dollars to hear exactly the same man play exactly the same music on this beautiful violin in a concert hall. Something extraordinary was happening right in front of them. But because it looked ordinary, most people missed it. And that's what's happening in the temple. Jesus doesn't look like salvation. He looks like a baby. But Simeon stops, looks properly, and sees what others miss. I think because the deepest truths are sometimes hidden in plain sight. Simeon then takes the baby in his arms, which I always find slightly funny. Imagine Mary thinking, "I don't know this man, but he seems confident." And Simeon says this prayer, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace," which is a very polite biblical way of saying, "Now I can die happy." It's not a line I'd use as I take a baby to baptize at the font at the back. But for Simeon, it meant this. He's seen enough. He has seen God keep his promise and has seen the light arrive. He knows the waiting was worth it. And then Simeon says something very interesting and very important about Jesus in verse 32. "A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." In other words, this baby is for everyone. This baby is not just for the religious, not just for the insiders or the well-behaved. Jesus is the light of the world for all people. Light shows us where we are. Light shows us where we're going. And light often shows us where God is. And then we meet Anna. Luke tells us she's an 84-year-old prophet. Her husband died young, and she'd spent a long time in the temple worshipping God and praying and fasting. She was a holy woman, and when she sees Jesus, she does something wonderful. She starts telling others. She becomes an evangelist as the joy bubbles up within her and overflows to people around her. When you've waited in hope for a long time, you recognize instantly what it is you've waited for when it finally comes. So, what does that mean for us here today? I think it means that God is at work even when we're waiting. As Simeon and Anna waited those years and years, God was at work in the background. It means that faithfulness matters more than flashiness. Simeon and Anna were faithful souls, regularly praying and worshipping in the temple. And it means also for us that Jesus often turns up quietly, not noisily. And it also means that this church, this community matters, because the temple was a place where prayers were held, where people waited together, and hope was recognized as it arrived. That is still the church's job today, to be a place where tired parents are welcome, older people are honored, people exploring faith are noticed, and Jesus is recognized even when he comes quietly into our midst. Simeon and Anna didn't see everything fulfilled. They never lived to see the cross. They never saw the resurrection. But they saw enough to trust God with the rest. And maybe that's enough for us too. To hold Christ however briefly, maybe in silent prayer or in the bread and wine. To recognize the light however quietly. Is God revealing something to you in plain sight? And one day to go home in peace, trusting that God is faithful. Amen.